Day 507, Tuesday, October 29th. Psalm 123 and 125. Psalms 123 1-4, NKJV, A Song of Ascents. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease with the contempt of the proud. Psalms 125 1-5 NKJV, A Song of Ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG Reading Plan states, Psalm 123, as the first song of ascents in the second set of three of the five sets of three, is another plea in the midst of distress. As in Psalm 121, the song begins with the psalmist lifting up his eyes, in this case directly to God in heaven. Psalm 123:1. Indeed, eyes is the key word in this psalm, occurring four times in the first two verses. And just behind it is the thrice repeated mercy or graciousness verses, the Hebrew word here, chanan, implying bending or stooping to help. Strong's number 2603. Thus we see where our sights are to be set for help during distressing times, the same place they must always be set on God. Looking to God is compared with servants looking to the hand of their masters and mistresses. Verse 2. One commentator notes, in Eastern countries, masters often commanded their servants by means of hand signals, clapping for summoning and gesturing for directives, so the servants kept their eyes on the master's hand. This is what gave them direction for their work, but the master's hand was also the source of their provision, what they needed for their daily sustenance. Finally, the master's hand protected them in times of danger. Warren Wiersbe, Be Exultant, Psalms 90-150. Praising God for His Mighty Works, 2004, note on verse 2. As God's servants, we are to look intently to Him for the slightest nuance of direction, for our daily bread, and for help in times of need. The psalmist pleads for God's gracious intervention because he and his compatriots are exceedingly filled with contempt, verse 3. Twice he uses the words contempt and exceedingly to describe their treatment by those who are proud and at ease, verses 3-4. The NIV translates these verses as, We have endured much contempt, we have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. The exact circumstances here are not known, and we might wonder how this relates to observing God's festivals. Certainly the very fact of following God's ways, including observing His Sabbaths and festivals, will provoke scorn from the world. A prime example of this occurred in the time of King Hezekiah after he restored true worship and sent runners through what was left of the northern kingdom of Israel with an invitation for the people to come to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. So the runners passed from city to city, though the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun, but they laughed at them and mocked them. Nevertheless, some from Asher, Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders. At the word of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 30 10-12. May we always look to God's hand to direct us and to help us when the world around us ridicules and persecutes us for obeying Him. Psalm 125. As the third song of ascents in the second set of three, Psalm 125 brings us again to blessing and peace in Zion. As the previous psalm expressed trust in God, so this one picks up from there and commencing with those who trust in the Lord. Verse 1. These are compared with the abiding presence of Mount Zion, probably meaning all of Jerusalem, as it expanded from the original city of David. See verses 1-2. As the mountain is immovable and enduring, both in natural terms and because God has declared it His eternal holy city, so those with faith in God will themselves continue with God in His city forever. As the city of David and Temple Mount were surrounded by higher hills providing a natural defense against encroaching armies, so God surrounds His covenant people with protection to preserve them. Verse 2. The comparison here is all the more fitting because God's faithful spiritual people, those of His church, are collectively referred to in various passages as Zion or Jerusalem in a spiritual sense. They will forever inhabit the heavenly Zion or New Jerusalem that will come down to the earth at the culmination of God's plan of salvation for mankind. The psalmist says that the scepter of wickedness, evil rule, compare Psalm 94, would not rest on the allotted land of the righteous, inducing the righteous to veer in their character. Psalm 125:3. God did allow evil kings to rule over Israel and Judah, both domestic and foreign, and many people in the land were corrupted by this. Yet such wicked rule did not persist. Indeed, the context here is one of forever, verse 2, in an ultimate sense. God would not allow the wicked to prevail over the land promised to God's people, this referring to not only the Holy Land but to the whole world. The rule of Satan, the devil, and his corrupting influence over this planet will be broken at the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom, so that people will be drawn not to iniquity, but to the joy of righteousness and peace conditions represented in the fall festivals. In the meantime, though confident in God to protect and preserve his people, the psalmist still prays with a sense of urgency that God will do good to those who are good, are upright. Verse 4. No one by nature is truly good, but those who are forgiven of sin and live upright lives with the help of God's Spirit are nevertheless classified as good. These people follow godly ways in contrast with those who turn aside to follow crooked ways. As for those who follow wicked examples of disobedience, God will lead them away to the same consequences, verse 5, perhaps meaning out of the promised land and into captivity, as referred to in the next psalm. Psalm 125 ends with a call for peace on Israel, same verse, the true Israel being those who faithfully continue in covenant with God. The same closing prayer ends Psalm 128, the concluding song of ascents in the next set of three, and,